Tricia Verville, field manager for Wisconsin and Minnesota for the Soil Health Partnership.
Tricia, what is all planned for an upcoming field day in Minnesota? It's going to be on July 17th in Buffalo Lake. What will the folks in attendance be learning more about?
So July 17th is our soil health and tillage field day. The full day is blocked out so that we can essentially provide a place for people to ask questions about cover crops and reduced tillage, soil health. There is a pretty big team as far as some county staff, tillage, chemistry, seed, agribusiness representatives that will be there, Soil Health Partnership, and some of your local county staff will all be there being able to talk about the how-tos of cover cropping and why, and then the how-tos of a conservation tillage system.
Let's go a little bit more in depth with cover crops. I would think that with every growing season, people are learning more and more about how to use them efficiently, what combinations seem to work the best depending on the environment that they're grown in. Here in the last year or two, Tricia, what would you say has come to light regarding the use of cover crops, especially in the upper Midwest?
We seem to always have the question of how are we going to get our cover crops in. It is just part of our northern territories that it's not quite as convenient to be able to just simply put them in after we harvest our crops, specifically in a corn grain rotation. So that is a big part of the cover crop discussion. And the best place to learn that from is from somebody who's out there doing it and has experience. What it's like to put it in with different equipment. Recently, I would say within the last year, a lot of light has been brought to interseeding, and you will certainly hear about that at our field day as well.
Take us through that process in a little bit more detail when you're talking about interseeding a cover crop, the timing, the equipment that's used, things like that.
Yeah, so typically that's going to happen in with your corn, it's V4 to a V6 time range, and that's the thing about it. There's just a lot of different equipment out there. Sometimes it's anywhere from people retrofitting some of your sprayers or using just a conventional spreader to get stuff out there, planes, helicopters, interseeder machines. So I think that there's a lot out there, and there are a lot of people who know what's worked and what hasn't worked that will be here at the field day. Same thing, you know, with your soybeans. It's a bit different timing. It tends to happen at the end of the cropping season where they're starting to lose their leaves, and that's when you come in and interseed. But the different equipment used would be similar to the corn.
When you look at the primary challenges of interseeding a cover crop, I would think like a year like this one, you talked about maybe applying with a sprayer. It's been a tough year for herbicide applications because fields have been so wet in Minnesota, probably Wisconsin as well. So weather conditions, I'm sure, can be a challenge getting that cover crop established, because essentially that seed's going to be dormant because that canopy is going to close up, and the cover crop's just going to kind of lie there until around harvest time, right? So maybe talk about the management, the challenges, and what to expect, and probably the unexpected as people continue to experiment with these cover crops.
There is a lot that goes into your management, and that's the thing with the cover crops. Having the idea in your head that you've got one plan, whatever it is your first option and the best thing that you can see that's going to happen to get those cover crops in. Let's say you're planning on going in with an interseeder, but you're right, on years like this, in specifically Minnesota, it's been wet, and I think that's been a challenge, is to actually get out in the field and use that interseeder to put that crop in if you can't get it. And then if your corn gets too big, you may knock some of those interseeding options as far as equipment off the board entirely. So coming up with a backup, if cover cropping is something you want to have part of your system, it's good to be open to more than one way of putting it in, because there's a very good chance that you may end up having to explore a different option if the management and the weather and all things don't cooperate with you.
So there could be some challenges, but let's really spend some time on the benefits. What you're finding out about the benefits to soil health, suppressing weeds, controlling nutrient sediment. There are a lot of benefits that we already know about, and as we continue to learn more about cover crops, are these the same benefits that we've been talking about, or are even discovering some new ones?
Yeah, so the Soil Health Partnership is a farmer-led organization that's primarily focused on this on-farm research that we're doing. And our goal really is to put the data behind some of these things that people see as good benefits to conservation practices they're already doing, whether it be the cover cropping or reduced tillage or nutrient management. So there's a lot of stories that go behind putting some of these practices in and how it actually is good for your farm. But unfortunately, up to this point, there hasn't been a lot of data that's backed it up. So that is our focus as a group, is trying to get that data there. So when you do tell your story as a farmer and say that you've put these things in, maybe it be that a common one, you've seen better infiltration and you have the ability to get in on a field sooner, or when a field, maybe it holds up better to these major weather swings that are going on. You can say that, but you can also have data to back it up. So that's definitely a process that we're in, is learning about what actually these things are affecting. And the big thing that the Soil Health Partnership also is helping with is these conservation practices. We know that they're good for the soil. We all understand that as far as crop science goes, but we want to make sure that it actually is working on a farm and start to understand the economic effect that it's going to have for an operation. So there's a lot coming to light as far as data and economics go with your conservation practices. And part of that is going to be, you know, part of that drive in the research is finding out how to do these practices that are somewhat challenging and maybe haven't completely been grasped onto in our northern territories. And then through that, I think some of those stories you're just going to hear, and those are the great things that come along with the conservation practices.
Last thing that I have for you, Tricia, and it goes back to this continued learning theme, but when you're talking to a producer who's going to experiment with cover crops for the first time in a state like Minnesota or in Wisconsin, and they're trying to decide on the correct species, what kind of cover crop plant or plants they're going to utilize, how do you help them through those decisions? What do we know about the various combinations? I've heard people talk about cover crop cocktails, where they're combining a few different species for the most benefits. Walk us through that process.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I think that's a really good point. And what I'm, one of the great things that is about this field day, whenever you pick out a cover crop cocktail, you have to figure out how it's going to fit into your management plan and what you're willing to deal with. So there's a lot that you have to discuss as far as herbicide and crop rotations, what your equipment's like, how you're going to seed it in, what might be, you know, as far as do you need that extra diversity in there to have in your cover crops, or do you already have a lot of diversity in your crop rotation? You may want to alter that cover crop mix per what field crop you're going to grow. So it goes back to your management style, and there's a lot of questions that have to be asked there, and you have to figure out how it can fit into your farm. And that you're going to have to learn a lot of stuff with it as far as, you know, different equipment options, how to's, what types you can actually put in there, what grows in our northern territories, Do you want something that's going to die over winter or that's going to stay green through the spring? So everybody has a lot of different goals, and we want to support whatever the specific farmer, we want to support whatever your goals are. So learning about what's out there is a great way to start, and then start to develop what your farm's goals are. And then we can start having the discussion about what the actual mix needs to be and how to fit it into your specific management.
With the upcoming field day on July 17th, are you asking people to pre-register? If folks would like more information ahead of time, can they go online? What do you recommend?
Yeah, absolutely. The Soil Health Partnership website has a registration link. So if folks can go on there and register for the day, that would be really appreciated. It starts registration on the day of the 17th, starts at 1, and we'll have a dinner at 6:15, and then I would think the day should be wrapping up by around 7. So if you have any questions, feel free to contact us. There's a flyer online that gives a description of what's all going to take place if you're wondering, and it talks about all the speakers so you can see who's all going to be there and be representative. And there's also an agenda. So if you want some more specifics about exactly what time things are going to happen, feel free to take a look at that too on the Soil Health website.
Tricia, anything else you want to make sure we talk about today?
I think we've covered a lot of stuff. This should be a really good representative day and very educational for farmers and growers to be at and learn from all kinds of different people as far as from your county and from the Soil Health Partnership and your peers. So hopefully it's a well-attended day. It has been in the past, and we look forward to seeing everybody there.